1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 is our text today. We're going to talk about the test. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, we find these words. For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we look to you, Lord. We look to you for guidance through your word. I pray that you'd open your word to our hearts, open our hearts, pour out your spirit upon us, give us understanding. Give us, Lord, a renewed zeal for your work. Lord, we love you, and now we pray that you will move freely among us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I did ask you last week, did you find your target for the week? How many of you found your target for the week to invite? Oh man, y'all are not doing very good. Okay? You need a target. There's good attendance today, but we want to make a difference in this community. Okay, we have to go through this every week, but here we go. We want to make a difference in this community. And we're not going to make a difference if we don't target people. If we don't see people and see the need in our community and begin to share the gospel and begin even to just invite people to church. Amen? If you're so nervous that you can't witness, hey, you can invite anybody to church. Right? All right. Find your target this week. Next week, and this week, be in prayer. I mean, don't you want to be successful in the kingdom of God? I mean, we look at Paul. Man, that guy was successful. He was... There's no telling how many people were saved because of the preaching of Apostle Paul. The churches that he started, the difference that he made, that man, I think there was no question that he would have been considered kingdom success. Amen? Wouldn't you call him successful? And I'm not talking about success in the eyes of man. I'm talking about success in the eyes of God. Do you want to be successful? If you're going to be successful, there's some things that's going to have to happen, right? And one of those things is you're going to have to be tested. And the test starts, first of all, with being trusted. I want to start with this question. Can God trust you? Woo, no amens. Man. Look at what Paul said in verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Paul said, God, he didn't just look at his role as a minister of the gospel as something he had to do. He looked at it as God had entrusted him. He had placed the gospel in his care. And I call your attention to two words in verse 4. Number first word. But as we have been approved. That word approved. Okay. It means tested in battle. And found reliable. I mean, if anybody had been tested in battle and found reliable, it was the Apostle Paul. Right? And we don't really think of the challenges that we face as Christians as being a test. But they are. And we look at Paul. Paul said, I've been approved or I've been tested in battle and found reliable. The last line there, but God who tests our hearts. That word test, it comes from the same root word as the word approved above. But this is used a little differently. It's an inward test. So literally what Paul is saying, he's saying, look, I have been tested on the outside and I have been tested on the inside. and I have passed the test. Therefore, God has entrusted me with the mission of taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. He had been tested inside and out. Now, if you're going to be successful, the first thing you're going to have to learn, or first thing that's going to have to happen, is you're going to be tested somewhere along the way. You're going to be tested inside. And what he's talking about here, go back in the text, verse 2. Paul said, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi." The test that he's talking about in verse 4 is the test that he had experienced in the city of Philippi, which is the city that he had just been to before he went to Thessalonica. See, Philippi, or Paul had began a ministry in Philippi and was evangelizing and witnessing and preaching in that city. And there was a slave girl. And you can read about this in Acts chapter 16, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to carry you through it, okay? But as Paul was ministering in Philippi, there was this slave girl with a spirit of divination. What she was a fortune teller. Right? And this fortune telling ability came from a demon spirit. And listen, in case you're wondering, don't ever do the fortune tellers. Okay? That's not God. That is not God. You don't want to get mixed up in that. But anyway, Paul is going around trying to preach, and everywhere he goes in this city, there's this little slave girl who's a fortune teller, demon possessed, and she follows him, and she cries out, "These men are men of the Most High God." First few times it happens, you know, Paul didn't say anything. But imagine. Everywhere he goes to one section of the city and begins to preach, and this little girl follows him. "These men are men of the Most High God." He goes somewhere else, that same girl was there. "These men are men of the Most High, servants of the Most High God." Everywhere it goes. And Paul, being the patient fellow that he was, he finally got all he wanted. And the Bible says he became annoyed. She did it one time too many. He's trying to preach. He's trying to witness. And here comes that girl. "These men are servants of the Most High God." And Paul just lost it and said, "Come out of her, demon." And that demon immediately came out of that girl. Now, I said she was a slave girl. And being a slave girl, the guys that owned her, if you will, they saw immediately that their opportunity for profit was gone. She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. That demon was gone. And so they became mad. They had Paul and Silas arrested. They took Paul and Silas to the authorities who took Paul and Silas, and it says they laid many stripes on them. They beat them with many stripes. And then, as if that were not enough, they gave them to a jailer in Philippi that took them to the very bottom part, the most inner part of the prison, put them down in there, and put their hands and feet in stocks. You know, as I thought about that, thought, what's the next move? What's going on? Well, what's going on is there was a test there of heart. The next thing that happened in Acts chapter 16 is Paul is sitting there with his buddy Silas. Hands are in stocks. Feet are in stocks. What are they going to do now? "Oh God! All I've done is what you call me to do, and you've put me in this prison and locked me in stocks." They didn't say that. Did they whine? Did they complain? Absolutely not. They're sitting in the bottom of that jail, hurting, bloody, beaten, uncomfortable, filthy, stinky prison. And their true character comes out. And you know what that was? You can read in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? Their inner character, it came out. That's what tests do. That's what happens when you're pushed to the limit and you're in that place that is a nightmare come true. That's when your inner character rises. It's like cream rising to the top. You see? It's that moment. And listen to me, Christians. It's that moment when you're beat up, bruised, abused, mistreated, that your character comes out. Okay? Your true character comes out. Now, let's back up. This is a heart test. What happens? With that person that you said, good morning, how are you today? And their response is, what's it to you? It's an opportunity for your true character to come out. When you're serving and you're teaching the junior high boys class, and I love junior high boys, but anyway, they're a great one to use that as an example. And those junior high boys are out of control, and they're kicking you in the shins, and they're climbing the walls, and they're throwing chairs, and they're out of control. What's going to happen? Are you going to love them? Or is this character going to come out that says, get these munchkins out of my sight? You run to brother Sunday school director, brother Ken. You got it, brother. I quit. See, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Because these tests reveal what's on the inside. What's really, really there. Paul and Silas could have wallowed in self-pity. They could have gotten angry. They could have complained and blamed God, but they didn't. At midnight, they're praising God. Listen to me. Can you praise God when things are really bad? If you can't, if other things are coming to the surface during that point of testing, and you just can't praise God anymore. You know, Brother Doug, you don't understand the problems that I have. Yes, I do. We've all been there. We've all done that. Okay? But if you can't praise God when you're at your darkest point, you better take a look, because you're not passing the test. Does it make sense? All right? If you're going to be successful in ministry, you're going to have to praise God even when it's difficult. Because I want to tell you something. Ministry is not easy. I figured out a long time ago, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, and I've shared with you, I used to be an air traffic controller. And I tell people that, and this has been 20 years ago, forgotten everything I knew by now. But when people learn that, they say, boy, That's stressful, isn't it? You know what I say? You ought to be a pastor. You know? Nothing to it. Ministry's not always easy. But you make sure when you're going through the test that the cream that rises to the top is godly character. That's what Paul did. As he was examined inside, that was a hard thing. That was a hard thing. When he was examined inside, he was praising God in spite of the pain, in spite of the terrible conditions that he was in at that time. When he was examined inside, his heart spilled out. Then we go on. Not only was he examined inside, he was examined outside. You see, as they were praying and singing praises, and those prisoners are listening, they say, what's up with these guys? They're crazy. Yeah, I mean, nobody goes through what they did and sings and prays. They have lost it. But it made an impression. Because a few minutes later, there was a great earthquake. And let me tell you, that was not a coincidence. God sent that earthquake. Right? See, Paul and Silas were being faithful even in the worst of conditions. They were being faithful, and God sends the Bible says, a great earthquake. And what happened in that earthquake is the jail doors fell open. The stocks, the chains that had them bound fell off their feet. And the old jailer, he was asleep at the time of the earthquake, and the earthquake woke him up, and he saw the open doors, and he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. You know what Paul and Silas did? And that jailer raised his sword. Paul cried out, yeah, that's right, do it, you sorry thing. You're the one that put me in this prison. That wasn't what Paul did. What Paul did, he saw that jailer and he said, stop. Do yourself no harm. We're all here. Now this is, for the life of me, this is hard to figure out when you're thinking on the level of man. Paul's been beaten. Paul has been abused. He's in the bottom of that prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And the earthquake opens the doors. The chains drop off. And Paul does not go anywhere. You know what Doug Hambrick would have likely done? I would have gotten out of there. Had that been, you know, me and some of y'all serving together, and we're in a prison in another country, you know, and God sends an earthquake and the chains fall off of our hands and feet, you better not dally, because I'm going to leave you behind. But man, what character. Paul said, told that jailer, whoa, don't do yourself any harm. We're all still here. You know why Paul didn't leave? Because Paul was not finished in Philippi. God put him there for a reason. God put him in that prison for a reason. And when he looked at that jailer and saw a man about to kill himself, he didn't see an enemy. He saw a soul that needed to be saved. He said, do not do yourself any harm. You see how the cream's coming to the top? As the tester, as God's putting them through this test. Paul took this, or he didn't take, the jailer then took Paul and Silas and took him home with him. And you know what he said in Acts chapter 16? And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you realize if Paul had ran, he would have never gotten the chance to answer that question? Do you realize if Paul had ran, he would have never gotten the chance to go home with this guy and answer the question for the rest of the family? This jailer and his entire family received Jesus Christ as Savior. Because Paul knew, God's not through with me. God's not through with me here. Listen. What am I saying? I'm saying sometimes it's tough. Sometimes that test is on the inside. Sometimes circumstances on the outside. But here's my question I ask you again. Can you be trusted? See, there are many, many who quit because the battle becomes difficult. And they see a way out. And they run. Here's the question. It's okay to change ministries. Okay? Maybe the Lord, you know, and sometimes the Lord moves you from being a junior high boys teacher to a teenage teacher. That's like out of the frying pan into the fire, isn't it? Sometimes God moves you. But the question is, are you done with the junior high boys? What am I saying? I'm saying finish it. Don't quit because it's tough. Don't quit because it's hard and somebody hurts your feelings. Don't quit until you've done what God placed you in place to do. Does that make sense? See, that's where the... I learned as a pastor a long time ago. It's easy to quit. It's not so easy sometimes to stick it out and say, God, I'm going to serve you because you got me in this ministry for a reason. Yeah? You've got me in this spot for a reason. Lord, I don't like it, but guess what? You don't have to like it. As Paul said in the bottom of that prison, I promise you, he did not say, Lord, this is the greatest place I've ever been. I'm loving it. Can you give me more of it? He didn't. Don't quit because the battle's difficult. Some of you have gotten older. And some of you have quit ministry altogether. Yeah? And the one that I love, the one that I love to hate, is the one where we get older and say, let those young folks step up. Well, I agree with you. The young folks should step up, but you should be by their side. Serving with them. Okay? You see, there are probably people sitting in this congregation today that's been hurt in church work. If you hadn't been hurt in church work, you hadn't been in church work long enough. All right? What is this? What am I trying to get to? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. When the things that start rising to the crop, to the top, like bitterness and discontent, and Lord, you're not blessing me like I should have been blessing, and ungrateful, you know, unthankfulness. When that starts, deal with it. Lord, the things that I'm feeling are not God. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, the feelings I'm feeling right now are not very godly. Have you ever been mad at somebody? And then go to the Lord in prayer. I mean, you're so mad at them, you could just pinch their head off, as the old saying goes. If you ever prayed about it, get down on your knees. And I mean, get down on your knees. Say, God, I'm getting serious with you. The way that I'm feeling is not the way that I should be feeling. God will help you with it. He will. He'll help you with it. You get down on your knees and get serious and... And maybe you're writing, maybe you're doing well in the test and those things are not coming to life. But you're in that position that, you know, it'd be just be a lot easier to quit. To get out. Jump ship. Let those nurseries take care of themselves. No. Listen, God's placed you where you are for a reason. Okay? There is no quitting in the child of God. I'll tell you what there is. There are do-overs. Have you ever found yourself going through the same thing over and over? And it seems like the same situation time and time again. Yeah, I'm getting mad at Brother Ken over here. And so, you know, me and Ken's going at it. And well, I'm just going to avoid Brother Ken from now on. I'm going to move over here. And Brother Michael and I are going to be buddies. And that lasts for about 2 hours. And Brother Michael says something to me that makes me mad. And now it's me and Michael that are mad. Well, rain on those two. I still got Kelly over here, you know, Brother Kelly Roach. And we'll be good buddies. And he doesn't last 30 minutes. He's made me mad. You see, going through the same things, you know why we go through the same things? Because we never pass the test. We never back up and say, no, these are not things that should be coming out the heart of a child of God. Mm-mm. We just keep moving. Keep facing the same old test. You got to love the Apostle Paul. Honestly, I wonder how he never quit. Now, I mean, you read, and I want to share with you he talked about his ministry experience. He said, three times I've been beaten with rods. Three times I've been shipwrecked, night and day in the deep. That means he spent a night and a day, 24 hours, swimming in the ocean or the water. You know? In journeys and perils and robbers and perils of his countrymen and in the wilderness, Paul was snake bit. Listen, you put me and a snake in the same room, one of us is leaving. Paul didn't quit. What am I saying? When the battle's raging, and it seems like everybody's against you, here's the question. Can you be trusted with what God has given you? You've got to, and the fact is, you've got to make up your mind here and now. You see, you may be saying, Brother Doug, I'm doing good. There's no, we're just moving right along, and we, you know. Good. You hang on to that because it won't last long. And you'll face the challenge. That's why I say you got to make up your mind now. Because what happens is, when we face the challenge, and we start fighting the battle, we get emotional. And we get angry, or we get irritated, and we get discouraged, and we become heartbroken, and we have all these emotions stirring on the inside to the point that we forget this, I quit. That's why you make up your mind right now. At a reasonable point. You see, I made up my mind. Right? I'm not quitting the ministry of the Lord. Why? Because I decided that a long time ago. It may get tough. May get hard. But I'm not going to let myself be in a point where I let my emotions run away with me. I do not believe emotions are our friend. It's emotions that make me say things I shouldn't say. It's emotions that make me do things that I shouldn't do. And I'm not talking, I know that love's an emotion and all that, you know, but I'm talking about these out of control emotions. That's why I decide, before I get to the battle, I just make up my mind. All right? I have made up my mind. I'm not quitting. Not quitting. I press toward the mark. Yeah? For the prize of the high calling. God has called me. I'm answerable to God. So are you. Right? God has placed you somewhere, and He's given you a ministry, and you've got to answer to God. You don't have to answer to me. If I back up and say, you're not doing a very good job, you just go ahead and tell me, who do you think you are? You're not God. But make up your mind today. You see, I think that's something we need in churches. People who are determined to follow Jesus. Right? Doesn't matter, you know, because what happens is people get, you know, we get discouraged and we just drop out of church and, you know, don't see Him anymore. No, make up your mind today. Are you a child of God? Amen? Are you saved? I promise you this. You've got a fight ahead of you. Right? That's why we're told to put on the whole armor of God, that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a fight coming. You're either in one, or one's ahead of you, or you're finishing up a battle. Make up your mind today. I am a child of God. I am placed where I am by God. God has me there for a reason, and I'm not moving. I don't care if Satan himself stands against me. It'll get hard. Sometimes your heart will break. Sometimes you'll find yourself in the prison. Lord, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. Then what you're going to find is our God's the God of the earthquake. I promise you, He may work it out with an earthquake, and He may just speak you through it, but He'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. Make up your mind today. In closing, are you a child of God? Okay? If you're not saved, you better take care of it today. All right? The reason is we don't know what tomorrow holds. Satan has you. If you're not saved, Satan has you right where he wants you. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't believe in all that God and Satan and all that. I think all that's a fairy tale. Really? Really? Look around you. You don't think there's a war going on? Why do you think it's not safe to go into a public building anymore without being shot? No. Why is that happening? Because there's a battle going on. A battle from good against evil. God against Satan. And you better find yourself on the right side. Say, Brother Doug, okay. I want to be saved. I'm glad. Here's how you do it. You call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save you. That's it. Listen, that's it. I will promise you upon the Word of God, that's all there is. You cannot take me in the Bible and say where you've got to do step one, two, or three. What it says in the Word of God and what Paul told them in Acts chapter 16, the church at Philippi was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's it. Oh, Brother Doug, that's too easy. No, it's not. You couldn't do it if it was any harder than that. Will you believe today? Will you receive Jesus Christ? This invitation's for you. Maybe you're here and you're fighting the battle. You're fighting the battle. I want to tell you, I just offer this words of encouragement. And I keep saying I'm closing. And I am, okay? I am closing. You're not fighting alone. God loves you. And God's people love you. Okay? We're told in the Word to bear one another's burdens, not tear one another down. And that's what we do at Victory. Amen? You're not in this alone. If you need prayer, you come during this invitation. I'd be honored to bow with you before this altar and ask for prayer or ask God's blessings upon you. If you need to be saved, will you come forward? I'd be honored to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, make up your mind where you stand and stay with it. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. Lord, well, we look and he did. He endured so much hardship. I just bow to you today, and I pray that, Lord, we will make up our mind today who we are in Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, we'll pass the test, that we'll stand and refuse to be moved, come what may. I pray your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.